All right. Well, good morning, and man, welcome. We're so glad that you guys are here with us today. Are you glad to be here today? All right. Love hearing that. Today we're closing out our series that we've been in called 41, and it's been a fun journey as we've looked at Old Testament stories and connected them to our stories. When we kicked this thing off, I encouraged many to share what we would have kind of coined as the 41 story, you know, the 40 that you were in, the 41 that you're in now. And we've received so many powerful stories. If you were here last week, you got to hear three of them. And this morning we had a powerful first service where even more people got to come and share a part of their story. And so I'm excited for you to get to experience that today as well. Last week we jumped into the New Testament stories. We were spent a lot of time in the Old Testament, and then we jumped into the New Testament. We began to examine the stories of the 12 disciples, right? Recognizing that some of their stories had a lot of detail. You got to learn a lot about who they were and the things that they went through and how Jesus used them. And then we also learned that there were some that had very few details, if any details at all, about their story. And the main point that I came to last week was this, that every one of their stories and ours matter because Jesus is a part of them. And the reality of it is this, is that once Jesus becomes a part of our story, what we're then meant to do is go out and share our story, what he has done in our life, the encounter that we've had in him. And honestly, like you read through the Gospels and you get into, you know, Acts and the early church movement, you'll begin to see the 12 disciples and other men and women go out and share all about Jesus, what Jesus did. You get the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe everything." You get into Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and says, "You will be my witnesses. You will go out and share testimony about me, share what I've done in your life in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." And we know that's what they went off to do. There's another really cool passage in Acts 4:20. It should be on the screen. And Peter and John have been imprisoned, and they're brought before like the religious leaders and their accusers. And this is what they say to them. Like, they're telling them, "You need to stop talking about Jesus." They're like, "No, we're unable to stop talking about what we have seen and heard in Jesus Christ, the Messiah." And these dudes had this encounter. And they couldn't stop sharing about Jesus. And we get the, you know, the four gospel accounts, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're about how their encounter with Jesus changed everything. And how their story is now connected to his story and must be shared so that more people can encounter Jesus in their life too. Because at the end of the day, Jesus came, he died, he rose to make God's story our story, to merge these two things together. And so it's one of those things like, while Jesus was writing this new story for the 12 and he was sending them out to go and share about the story, at the same time, he was also writing a new story for anyone who encountered him. And guess what he did? He sent them out to share their story as well. And so what I want to do today is I want to take a look at two stories in the New Testament of two people that had this encounter with Jesus that ended up changing everything in their life. The first one will be in Luke chapter 8, if you want to turn there to your Bibles. This is the story of a demon-possessed man. We're going to start in verse 26. It'll be on the screen behind me. 26 or 27? 27. I have 26, but we'll go right to 27. When he got out on land, a demon-possessed man from the town met him. And for a long time he had worn no clothes and did not stay in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and said in a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was guarded, bound by chains and shackles, he would snap the restraints and be driven by the demon into deserted places. Verse 30 says, "What is your name?" Jesus asked him. "Legion," he said, because many demons had entered him, and they begged Jesus not to banish them to the abyss. A large herd of pigs was there, feeding on the hillside. The demons begged him to permit them to enter the pigs, and he gave them permission. The demons came out of the man entered the pigs, the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and drowned. When the men who tended them saw what happened, they ran off and reported it to the town and in the countryside. Verse 36, meanwhile, the eyewitnesses reported to them how the demon-possessed man was delivered. Then all the people of the Gerasene region asked Jesus to leave them because they were gripped by great fear. So getting into the boat, Jesus returned. The man from whom the demons had departed kept begging Jesus to be with him, but Jesus sent him away and said, go back to your home and tell all that God has done for you. And he went off, proclaiming throughout the town all that Jesus had done for him. Now, this is a pretty wild story. For the longest time, this man was possessed, not just by a demon, but from what we hear in the story, by many demons. And he lived in torment. He lived in confusion. He lived in social isolation. And everyone in the region knew him, and they were scared of him, and they didn't want to go near him. But then Jesus shows up. And he has this 41 moment, right? His 41 story becomes freedom from torment, from confusion, from social isolation. And he is given a sound mind. He is given a new hope. He was given a new story in Jesus. And what happens is word spread, right? People are hearing and they're coming to kind of just see it for themselves. And they're realizing, like, this can't be the same man. This is not the man that we knew. This is not the man who ran around here and scared the living daylights out of us and haunted our children's dreams. Like, this something miraculous has happened here. And it goes on to say that this amazing thing happened, and there was great fear. They were terrified. And what you do as you read through this story, you kind of, if you get into the context, you get this sense that this was a spiritually dark region. I mean, for multiple demons to enter into a man, you can just realize how dark this region is. And they didn't know God. They weren't following God. And what we can find out, even after there's this miraculous transformation, those people wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And what do? They send him away. And now you have the man who's miraculously transformed. He's like, listen, this dude showed up and he rescued me from a deep, dark pain of confusion, of isolation, of all that things. And he's like, if he's leaving, I got to go with him. And he comes up and Jesus, take me with you. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay in this haunted place of my past where there's so many bad memories. I don't want to stay where people who knew me still won't want anything to do with me. Jesus, please let me just go with you. And then, you know, it makes sense. You know, why wouldn't he want to go? Because once you encounter Jesus, guess what? You want to be with Jesus. You want to go where he's at. You want to do what he does. But it's so interesting because, like, you understand that and you get that and you go, yeah, that's a good plan. Go with Jesus. But Jesus has other plans for this man. He says, no, listen, now that your story has been joined together with mine, he says to this man, I want you to stay right here. And I want you to tell everyone you can. Everyone that knew you, what God has done in your life. Let them see the proof of your transformation right here and right now. And so you have this man, right? He has this story. And he goes from a man tormented by demons and shunned by his community. And now Jesus sends him out to proclaim to the same community how Jesus rescued him and changed his life. And in this story, it reveals something so important. When we have this life-changing encounter with Jesus, we often go, you know what? Now I just want to follow Jesus. And honestly, I just want to be with Jesus' people. I'm done with my old life. I'm done with the old things. I can't imagine living there, staying there, being a part of that. I want to be done. Again, you get it. But Jesus responds in this moment. He says, listen, it's important for you. Learn my ways. Surround yourself by people who know me, love me, follow me. Be equipped by them. Be encouraged by them so that you can follow me. But he says, don't leave the area you're in because I want you to share your story of people with people who know you, who are far from God and who have not yet met him. And so don't miss this. Your story will likely have the greatest impact on the people that you've known the longest. Right? Because they knew you before. They knew you before Jesus. And as you share about your encounter, as they learn about your encounter with Jesus, and you show them that you're living for him and trying to be like him, they're going to start asking questions and be like, bro, I knew who you were. I knew your life before this. I know your past, but you're different. What's changed? What's happened? Tell me. And that's when you get your moment. You get your moment to tell them your story, and you get to tell them the key to your life change, and his name is Jesus. Who he is, what he did, and how he rescued you from that life and brought transformation in your life. And I think it's so important to recognize that Jesus wants us to share our story right where he has us. And that could be in your workplace, with your coworkers, that could be in your neighborhood, that could be in your church. New life in Christ around them? There's a good chance you probably do. Because what's happened now is you had this group of people maybe who were living in sin and weren't living for God, and then you are radically changed and transformed, and you're pulled out, and you're going like, I don't think they'll accept me. I don't think they're going to judge me. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about any of that. Go in and tell them about me. Go share your story right where he has you. And so I just think in your life, it might be worth asking, how does Jesus want to use my story to impact those around me who do not yet know him? Because at the end of the day, what Jesus has done in your life, your encounter with him can absolutely help someone else that you know encounter Jesus as well. Now, that first story, it's a pretty radical story, right? And it's one of those things, like, you read through, right, and you're left going, man, it's so easy to see this dude's life change, right? Like, he's demon-possessed, he's doing crazy things, he's living in the tomb, everyone's afraid of him, there's this complete transformation, he's in his right mind, and he's praising and proclaiming the name of Jesus. And you're kind of left thinking, like, that's a story that's really hard for me to relate to. I've never been demon-possessed, at least that I know of, right? You're like, maybe I have at one point in time, but as far as I know, I've never been demon-possessed. And really, as I think about my story, like, it wasn't some dramatic or life change or miraculous healing. Like, I didn't come from a place of drugs or addiction or crime. And so, man, that story, failing to see, well, you know, how this, you know, pertains to me. And so that's why I want to share another story with you. Another story of an encounter with Jesus. And the severity of the transformation is much different. But you see, the encounter changed the life all the same, where everything changes. And so this second story is the story of a Samaritan woman that meets Jesus at a well. This is in John chapter 4, and we'll start reading at verse 5. And so it says, Jesus came to a town of Samaria. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about 6 in the evening, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Give me a drink, Jesus said to her. And I'm going to paraphrase the rest because there's a lot that takes place and there's a lot that we could dive into, but I want to try to keep us on track here. So in this conversation, Jesus shares that he is the living water and that his living water brings eternal life. And anyone who drinks of it will never thirst again. And the Samaritan woman's like, bro, get me some of that water. Like, you don't have a bucket. I don't see, like, where is the water? I want the water. Give me the water. She's hearing about this thing, and then anyone would be like, yeah, you're never going to thirst again. Let me have that. And then essentially what happens is right after that comment, she says, I want the water. I want the eternal life. Jesus, you know what he does? He calls her out in her sin. And he simply says to her, go get your husband. Go get your husband. And the lady says, the Samaritan woman says back, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're now with is not your husband. And so now she's recognizing, okay, this is not a normal man. This is clearly a prophet. And he goes on to tell her that the time has come for all people, Gentiles and Jews, and even Samaritans are going to worship together in spirit and in truth. And then we get back to the story, verse 20. I know that the Messiah, Christ, when he comes, he'll experience. And then Jesus, I am he, the one speaking to you. Now, really quick, notice the differences in our stories, right? You have one story where, like, very clearly you have this man isolated. No one wants anything to do with him. come to this Samaritan woman. It's not a whole lot here. This is just going to be a normal story with this woman just going to get water from a well. But come to find out, and she's living with a man who's not her husband. She's already had five husbands. And now, you and I don't know all the details about all of that, but you can be guaranteed that Jesus did, right? And you begin to kind of go, it would seem that she's living a promiscuous lifestyle. And so, you know, Jesus reveals all this, and she seems somewhat taken aback by it, right? That Jesus knows so much about her, but really she doesn't really get into that. You know what she tries to do instead? She tries to change the subject. She's like, oh, you're a prophet, you know, and she's like, oh, let's talk about you. No, I don't want to talk about me, bro. Like, don't talk about me. And so she tries to change the subject with Jesus, but what happens is Jesus brings the conversation to this climax, and he reveals that he is the Messiah. And so the bottom line is this. She simply has a conversation with Jesus. And this conversational encounter with Jesus changes everything. Right here, you get to see it unfold. And you know what she does next? She drops everything. She leaves her bucket. She leaves her bucket. She leaves the well. And you know what she does? She runs to the town, and she begins to tell everyone that she's had an encounter with the long-awaited Messiah. Verse 28, then the woman left her water jar, went into town, and told the men, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They left town and made their way to him. And verse 41 simply says, many more believed because of what he said. So the woman goes off, shares her testimony, and then because she was willing to share what Jesus did in her life, they come to hear from Jesus. And so essentially, like, it's the same impact. Jesus comes along and changes everything. So you have two people who are outcast in their communities for different reasons. Both have life-changing encounters with Jesus. They're never the same again. But the most important thing to recognize, what I want to point out, is that both of them, they go off and proclaim who Jesus is and what Jesus did for them. And I just really want to take a moment to go, like, just look at what they went off to share. What did they go share with people? Were they going back to the communities and towns and quoting scripture to people? Were they sharing stories that they've learned about scripture and about all the things? And were they going out and telling people about the Ten Commandments and how they have them memorized and making people live by them? Were they calling people out in their sin? No. You know what they did? They simply shared their story. This is who I was. I met Jesus. He changed everything. Everything. Listen, in this moment, Jesus didn't run them through seminary. He didn't have them complete an 8-week discipleship course. He didn't say, hey, you know what? Before you go share, hold on. I need you to go on the Bible app and I need you to read a Bible plan. Come back to me, share what you learned, and then maybe then you can go share. No. He showed up. He rescued them from the sin that they were living in. He entered their story and simply said, now go share. Share what I've done. Share who I am. And listen, don't hear me wrong. It is of vital importance that we learn and gain knowledge of God's word. That we know God's story. That we continue to be discipled in the church and through the people in the church. But we don't have to wait until we know everything to begin to share what Jesus has done in our life. Because it's your story. And man, as you start telling people that you know, they're going to be like, I see it. I hear what you're saying. And a lot of it doesn't make sense, but I see the change. And they'll probably go, you have tried to change your entire life. And then you're telling me Jesus came along and he changed it. And they're gonna start asking questions. And so I just go, simply start by connecting people to the hope that you have found in Jesus. You share the transformational work of the word. And when I say word, I'm meaning two things. You share the transformational work of Jesus, who is the word, and you share the transformational word of the word that is scripture, and the spirit that now dwells within you, that is making changes in your life to cause you to become more like Jesus. At the end of the day, if you've had an encounter, if you've been transformed by Jesus, there will be evidence of his spirit in your life. And people are going to see it. in your words, in your actions, in your reactions. They'll begin to recognize a maturity, a spiritual maturity in your life. And something else. When you encounter Jesus, when you really, truly encounter him, when he enters into your life and he transforms your life, you won't be able to keep it to yourself. That's just the reality of it all. You won't be able to, because it's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you. So let me show you really quick three other stories of four people who have life-changing encounters with Jesus, and they literally cannot stop themselves from telling people, even though Jesus said, hey, man, don't go tell anybody. Let me share. There's just really three. I'm not going to share the whole thing. I'm going to kind of give you a paraphrase. The first story is a leper who encounters Jesus. It's in Mark 1, verse 40 through 45. You can go read this for yourself. But what happens is after healing the leper, Jesus explicitly tells him, don't tell anyone. He does the opposite. Verse 45 says, he went out and began to proclaim it widely and spread the news about Jesus. So he's like, I hear what you're saying, man, but listen, you changed me. I was an outcast. No one had anything to do with me. Now they see that I'm changed, that I'm healed, that I'm rescued, and I'm going to have to talk about it. So the leper goes out. Two blind men encounter Jesus. Matthew 9. After giving them sight, Jesus sternly warns them, don't tell anyone. Immediately after, they went out, spread the news about him throughout that whole area. Man, they're seeing and they're going, look, my eyes are open, right? And I got to tell you who opened my eyes. Finally, a deaf and mute man encounters Jesus. Mark 7. Jesus heals him, commands silence. Verse 36 says, the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. And I'm just going, listen, if you've been mute your whole life and Jesus gives you your voice back, you're not going to be able to not talk about it. You're going to go and shout it from the mountaintops. You're going to go and tell everyone, hey, listen, I got a voice and Jesus is my savior and you need him in your life too. They can't help. And it's so clear as you read through those passages, Jesus is like, hey, just try to keep this to yourself. Try to. Don't tell anybody yet. And yet, they went off and they told everyone their story. Do you want to know why? Because Jesus changed everything for them. They couldn't keep it to themselves. Listen, we all have a story to tell. A testimony, right? Of what Jesus did in our lives. Like, where were you hurting and how did he heal you? Did you feel trapped and now, how did he rescue you? Were you broken? How did he transform you? Were you prideful and selfish? How has he humbled you? Were you lonely? How did he show up and embrace you? What sin left you in shame? And Jesus shows up and says, I forgive you. What hopelessness have you been living in? And Jesus shows up and completely repurposes your entire life. Listen, who we were, how we encountered Jesus, and how he transformed our lives, these are our stories. And they're meant to be shared with someone, with anyone. I mean, with everyone. Because when we share our story, our encounter, what Jesus did in our lives, we can help someone else encounter Jesus as well. We all have a story. We all have a testimony. How will you share it? How are you sharing it? We've been talking about this whole time. In a minute, as the band leads us in worship, people are going to come out and they're going to share what we call cardboard testimonies. And on one side, it's going to be something about their life before Jesus. The other side is going to be what Jesus did in their life. And as the song is going, as they're sharing, as you're celebrating what they're doing, I would encourage you, on the seat backs in front of you, and some of the seat backs in front of you, there's this little cardboard with a marker. If you feel so led, if you feel so encouraged, if the Spirit is moving and you go, you know what, I want to write down in just a few sentences who I was and what Jesus did, I would encourage you to take one of these out, fill it out as the cardboard testimonies are going, and I'll kick us off. Stories, they're proof, right, that God can turn anyone's story into his story for his glory. No matter how hurt you've been or how much hurt that you've done, no matter how hopeless you felt or how selfishly you've lived, no matter the shame that you have or how unworthy that you feel, Jesus came to write a new story in your life, a story of redemption, of hope, of healing, of joy, of peace. Jesus came to write a new story in your life, right? And the reality of it is this, is that, man, all of those who call on his name, all of those who profess him as the Lord and Savior of their life, are transformed, are made new, are repurposed in him. And so, you know, the encouragement is this, is if you've experienced, you know, what we've been talking about, this 41 moment, this encounter with Jesus, man, write it down. Tell somebody about it. Share it with someone. Share it with anyone. Share it with everyone. If today you say, man, I'm having an encounter with Jesus right now, and maybe, just maybe for the first time, my eyes are open to who he is and what he wants to do in my life, and he's breaking through the hurt, the pain, the addiction, the shame, I can see now that through him I'm forgiven, that I'm redeemed, that I made new, I would encourage you, man, grab that cardboard in front of you. Write down what Jesus has done in your life. The band is going to go back into the song in just a minute as I pray. As they do, if you feel so compelled, grab that cardboard, write on it what Jesus has done, and just simply as a proclamation of who he is and what he's done, just hold it up right where you're at. Begin to share your story. God, right now we thank you. We thank you for all the stories in this room. We know and believe that our stories are better because you enter them. God, and we know you're still writing them. You're still working, and you're still moving in our lives. Would we never lose sight of who you are, of what you've done, of the transformation that has taken place? Would we continue to move towards you, to be like you, and may we never stop telling people about what you've done, and that in our lives, you changed everything. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.